you know, I was a public defender for 7 years and know that system very well, and was the corrections chair for 4 years, know that system very well now as well. And in the end, the purpose, once someone is out, is to give them a chance to get their life back.
Hi there, it's WAMC News Director Ian Pickus. And on this episode of the WAMC News Podcast, I speak with New York State Assemblyman Danny O'Donnell, a Democrat from the 69th District. We talk about the state budget, the New York City mayoral race, and why he wants to ban hydrofracked fluids from being used to de-ice roads in New York State. Thanks for being with us.
It's my pleasure.
Before we talk about hydrofracking byproducts, we're speaking shortly after the New York State budget was approved. Were you satisfied with the contours of the budget?
Well, you know, I was generally satisfied. It'd be difficult not to be. A $212 billion budget is a significant increase. Of much of that money came from the federal government, but we also did raise taxes on high-income earners, which was important. I'm in charge of the Arts and Tourism Committee, and so I'm never satisfied with how much money for the arts we're giving, but it was a step in the right direction.
What would you like to see done to bring the arts and culture back? Obviously, that's a huge part of your district as well.
It's a huge part of my district, but it's also a huge part of New York State economy. And statistics like 40% of New Yorkers, 40% of the meals New Yorkers eat, they don't eat in their own home, which is an extraordinary number, right? And every dollar you give to the arts, the state gets $7 back. And so in order to restore our economy, we have to acknowledge that the arts is a huge part of the economy, and that includes the restaurants and, you know, the other venues, you know. And if they can't run, if they don't have the money to put on a show, we're going to have a real problem, you know. And we've known this for years in terms of its economic impact. But, you know, people have said to me, what should have we been doing? And what I'm clear about that is that we usually have a maintenance budget, and this is not a maintenance budget. This is we have to restart it. We have to, you know, rebuild it. It's like going to the World Trade Center after it fell and saying to the guy who owned it, well, what does it cost to run a year? $1 million. Well, here's $1 million. Well, no, you have to rebuild it first. So we have to rebuild it, and it's clear that it needs to be rebuilt. And you have all these actors and tech people and, you know, stagehands who are all out of work and have been out of work for over a year, and we need to fix that.
In your view, is that something that could be done by the end of 2021, or are we talking, you know, a longer-term return to normal, whatever that is?
I think it's a two-year turnaround, but the first thing you have to do is get money into the theaters so that they could put on their shows and pay the actors and pay the staging people and all that stuff so that can start to rebuild. Obviously, you can't have someone who's a professional actor who would work year-round in New York and environs and not have money for 2 years. It's not going to work. So we put a lot of money into the New York State Council on the Arts. I'm very proud of that. And I'm working closely with them to make sure that that money goes out the door.
Did Democrats who run the legislature have a better hand to play in this budget negotiation, given the relative weakness of Governor Cuomo?
I think that we're united in philosophy and united in what needs to be done. And we're stronger about him, both because of some of his weaknesses, as well as the absolute necessity for us to get the economy running. FDR once said, you don't just prime the pump, you have to make sure it runs. And that's the moment we're in at this stage now. And so obviously our president understood that, and Senator Schumer understood that. Now we need to make our state government work that way. And I'm very happy that it looks like we're trying.
So we're speaking in late April. You all are scheduled to be in Albany in one form or another through about June 10th or so. What are your priorities for the rest of the legislative session?
Well, you know, it's a different session because of COVID and because of us not being present and finally getting the budget done. So, you know, I have a variety of criminal justice reforms and other things that I'd like to get done. I passed two bills this week. That usually doesn't happen this early in this session, and we're going to continue.
Okay, let's talk about one of them. You want to have people on parole be able to vote. How come?
Well, because the statistics are clear that parolees who vote are more likely, less likely to go back to prison. So what is, it's the corrections department. It's supposed to provide people an avenue for corrective behavior. And, you know, I was a public defender for 7 years and know that system very well, and was the corrections chair for 4 years, know that system very well now as well. And in the end, the purpose, once someone is out, is to give them a chance to get their life back. And it's very difficult to do. One of the problems is the word parole. People think parole means get out of jail free, and that's not true. The people who live their lives on parole are living law-abiding lives. They have to. They're required to have a job. They're required to check in. They're required to have a safe place to live. They're not permitted to associate with known criminals. They're not allowed to drink. They're not allowed to do drugs. They're subject to random drug tests, and they're subject to random house inspections 24 hours a day. Okay? If you're living under that rubric, you're living a law-abiding life. And if you aren't, they put you back in. And so we should do everything in our power to franchise people in this country. And we need to do everything in our power to give people who are trying to set their life straight the chance to do that. And that's what my bill does. We passed it today.
What about the argument that's been made in New York State, it's been made in other states too, that this is expanding voting rights and giving voting rights to people who might have been convicted of breaking the law is just a smokescreen to bolster Democratic ranks?
Well, that's ridiculous. I don't know the party affiliation of criminals. Do you?
Me personally? No, I don't.
Well, I think that's BS, to be quite frank. In the end, no state permanently disenfranchises someone for having committed a crime, A. B, the history of disenfranchisement is directly part of our racist history and part of Jim Crow. So thirdly, when people get out of prison, what we want them to do is not to recommit a crime. And we should use everything in our power to make it so that they are reintegrated into society, which includes the right to vote. And I know people who have been on parole. I mean, I there are people in my community whom I'm aware of. You know, they want to participate. And there's really no justification for saying no.
Do you think Governor Cuomo intends to sign this bill?
I never know what Governor Cuomo intends to do. But I would say that since a couple of years ago, he issued an executive order where he would allow people, he would pardon people from the part of the sentencing that would say you can't vote. So this is an extension of this. This is not, he doesn't have to get involved. And the other part of it is, having lived and as an elected official in this neighborhood, you know, I regularly run into people who tell me that they can't vote because they were convicted of something. And even if their sentence is done, even if their parole is done. And so the purpose of this is not just to get them to vote, but to educate them about their rights. It requires notification at sentencing that this is what the rule is, and requires the docs, when someone is leaving, that they be given a registration form and know that their right to vote has been restored.
What kind of effect do you think the legalization of recreational marijuana, which was part of the state budget package this year, will have on criminal justice? And were you satisfied with the framework for that agreement?
I have to give a shout out to my colleague, Crystal People-Stokes, who has fought this battle for a long time.
Yep, she's the majority leader. Yep.
She's now our majority leader. You know, there's always been a huge racial disparity about who got arrested and who got into the criminal justice system because of marijuana. And, you know, that's just a reality. And it no longer served any purpose. And so I was very proud of the work Crystal did, and I was very proud to vote for that and support that through the entire time it was pending. I think it's a good step forward.
Tell me now about your bill that would ban the use of hydrofracking byproducts in de-icing for roads. What does the bill do?
Well, it was a shock to me when I introduced the bill because I attended many, many hours of hearings about hydrofracking and how dangerous it is based on the fluids that they use. When we did a hearing, asked the industry what's in that fluid, they say that's proprietary information. So you shoot this liquid into the ground, you won't tell me what's in it, and when the liquid comes out of the ground, you won't tell me what's in it. So how do we know that's safe? And the answer is we don't know it's safe. So we're not actually doing that in New York now, but there are places where people can obtain that fluid, and there are localities that have been using it to de-ice the roads or to reduce dust on the roads. And, you know, as long as we don't know what's in it, it seems very dangerous to me to spread it on the ground because the probability of it going into our water supply is very high. I did not know a lot about water in New York until I did these hearings a decade ago. And, you know, New York State is essentially the birthplace of water for the East Coast of the United States. Water flows down. And we have an obligation to our country and to the world to protect that water supply. And if you're putting chemicals, unknown chemicals, onto the ground, it's going to leak into the water supply. And so much of the stuff I'm referring to comes from Pennsylvania, and they could be endanger the health and safety of the road workers as well as the people who live adjacent to it. And so this bill would ban that practice and not allow you to do that.
How come the use of that fluids was not part of the ban on the practice of hydrofracking signed by the governor many years ago, as you mentioned?
Because no one thought anyone would be so stupid.
So this is stuff
to take liquids that we're afraid are dangerous and then dehydrate them and then put them on the ground? That never occurred to me.
Is it a cost issue for localities that it's cheaper to get this fluid than other methods, especially with the crackdown on road salt?
I would say it might be, but it would be a greater cost to a locality if there was a problem, right? And, you know, if you go look up images on Google and things, you'll find these huge pools of this liquid sitting in open fields. If there was an earthquake or a, you know, whatever, you know, this liquid coming out and going into our fields and streams would be a disaster, a national, absolutely national disaster. And so the industry thought they would just come in and they would just do this, and it would be all right. I was very proud to join my colleague Barbara Lifton, who led the fight to stop it, and we won. But then we realized there were these other things. There are counties in the state, including Tompkins County, that ban its use this way. This would make that ban statewide.
Where is DEC in all of this?
I have not heard from DEC. You know, one of the problems is you know, they issue permits. Let me be clear. This is the way this works. So a municipality is allowed to go to DEC and say, can I get a BUD, a beneficial use determination? And then they test part of it. But part of the problem is they test a sample. So one sample of this brine may be fine when another sample may not be fine. Secondly, they don't test for everything that they could test for, which is a problem. And, you know, there are some things, norms, naturally occurring radioactive materials like radium that exist coming out of this process. And, you know, I think that one of the mistakes the industry made when trying to come here is that they refused to tell us what's in them. And it's very difficult blindly to just say, okay, I'm going to trust you that there's nothing harmful in these liquids. And I know from fighting the fight here in my neighborhood about, you know, what happens if soil is contaminated with something, and what do you do to rectify it? I mean, this goes back to Love Canal, right? We've come a long way, but we still need to ensure that the ground and the groundwater is safe. And we can't rely on it unless you're going to tell us exactly what is in all of that.
Just one more thing. Who do you like for mayor of New York City?
I am undecided, but I'm excited about having five votes. So I've made no endorsement. I've spoken to a number of them. I think the city is ready for a change. And once I decide, I'll let you know.
Okay. It's a long list. Do you have a favorite five?
It's a very
five?
Long list. Do I have my five? I'm getting close to having five. And, you know, I think that it's sad that we've never had a female mayor. It's sad that we haven't really embraced our African or Latino leaders to rise up. I mean, many people thought Freddie Ferrer was going to be mayor. Many people thought that Billy Thompson was going to be mayor. Many people thought that Ruben Diaz Jr. was going to end up being mayor. And those things never came to be. And our city is very diverse, and we've never had a gay mayor. Right. So we've never had a gay citywide elected official 50 years after Stonewall. So I think all those things need to be included in an assessment. And, you know, how the world interacts with you has a lot to do with those issues of identity. And so just being in a category is not good enough, but it's certainly deserving some weight.
OK, let me try one more thing separate from whether you'll endorse or who you would like to win. Who do you think is winning right now in the Democratic primary?
I think Andrew Yang is winning right now. And it's because of his money and because of the media is excited about him. Whether or not that translates to primary voters in June, I'm not so sure about. I mean, Michael Bloomberg, that's true. Bloomberg was that. But Bloomberg put all of his money and was not running in a primary. He was running in a citywide general election. So can Andrew Yang support win in a ranked choice voting among only Democrats? I don't know.
New York State Assemblyman Danny O'Donnell, a Democrat from the 69th District. I love having a chance to catch up with you because you always say what you think, and I appreciate that. Thank you.
I have difficulty not saying what I think. Thank you very much.
All right, that does it for this episode of the WAMC News Podcast. Thanks so much for listening. Until next time, I'm Ian Pickus.